Fellowship as we are resuming here with the Doctrine of Angels, Roman numeral 5, picking up now with the test of angelic volition and its result, which culminates into the course of the angelic conflict. One of the reasons why we are in existence as human beings, the history of mankind revolves around previous situation that occurred in the third heavens of the angelic race. So, Roman numeral 5.A, all angels were created perfect and sinless after the order of Lucifer, which was the highest ranking cherub during that period of their history, as we saw in Ezekiel 28, yet were provided with the volitional ability to choose for or against God, as Lucifer proves. God does not create beings as robots. His divine love desired beings that would embrace Him for who and what He is based on their own free will. And therefore, angels were created in said fashion. They determined to choose for or against God continually throughout their existence, just as mankind does in their existence. So be, and they were all created, as we know, sinless. The sin came about based on their own choice, not anything that God did in and of Himself in that respect. So be, when Satan manufactured the first sin of pride, which is based on his perfect beauty, obviously he was under approbation, a vanity, if you will, in regards to his mechanisms of creation. One-third of the angels then opted for his viewpoint and became enemies of God, known as fallen angels or demons, being categorized in that regards. Again, Ezekiel 28, one of the primary verses, passages that deals with Satan. Here for our intents and purposes, 12 through 17 again, we've read that. Previous class, doesn't hurt to look at it again. Son of man, take up lamentation over the king of Tyre. It has a dual reference here to include Satan and say to him, thus says Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, you have the seal of perfection, created perfect, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. A perfect beauty, it would be a sight to behold. It recognizes something that would give all the other angelic hosts pleasure in regards to having the senses to enjoy the beauty of God's creation, and hence opportunity to glorify God for what He is capable and able to do, and what He does for His creation. You were in Eden, obviously not true for the human king of Tyre, only for demon behind his rule, that would be Satan himself. The garden of God, every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets, was in you on the day that you were created. Quite a picture of his presence, his body, as it would be manifested in this respect in the third heaven. You are the anointed cherub who covers or guards, literally, and I placed you there based on divine appointment. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways, verse 15, from the day you were created to a right unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. He became a professional antagonist to God, aggressive, open rebellion in regards to Him, based on his hatred for God, for taking away his position of approbation in his own thinking by the other angelic hosts, replacing it with the creation of heaven and earth, providing them with something else to glorify God with. And you sinned. You internally filled with violence, verse 16, and you sinned, therefore I've cast you from the mountain of God, the first fall or second fall of Satan here in this regard. First fall was his sin. And I've destroyed you, O guardian cherub, in the midst of the sons of fire. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up, form of arrogance. Because of your beauty, you corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. He produced his own sin nature based on his rebellion against God. And therefore, he may corrupt doctrine that was in him otherwise, that he is filled with to begin with. By reason of your splendor, your STA obviously loves to distort the doctrine, to rationalize it, to bring it into conformity in regards to what the STA, the way it wants to think versus Bible doctrine. And I cast you to the ground, put you before kings that they may see you. And that would be the wisdom of the world inside into the human viewpoint, demonic influence, satanic influence in regards to the world. These attempts of world powers and things of this nature all are evidence to that. Isaiah 14, another primary passage that deals with Satan, denoting that he had volition. Here he enters five I wills. He declares his manifesto of agenda, of having success in his rebellion against God. How you have fallen from heaven, verse 12, O star of the morning, where he gets his name Lucifer, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. That weakening comes about through this consistent perpetuation of developing world orders, world powers to aggress against other nations and for nations to seek to build themselves up with the conquest of others, the aggression of nations against other nations. Hence, has weakened the nations for what they were originally designed for under the divine institution of nationalism. But you said in your heart, verse 13, then the five I wills, I will ascend to heaven. That means he will take God's place in authority, in the throne. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God emphasizes rule over the angelic creation to include the elect. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. And there he will establish his throne on the planet Earth to rule over planet Earth, which is his attempt through the Antichrist in our present time. How he will rebel at the final rebellion. In that sense, we do not yet know. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, ruling over the planet itself. With his throne on planet Earth, and I will make myself like the Most High. He will usurp God and assume the power of God in said fashion. So. Then Revelation 12, 3 and 4. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, which is signifies Satan, having seven heads and ten horns. And on his heads were seven diadems. and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. The influence of his original rebellion against God and his manifestos, which these a third of the angelic host bought into it and threw them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she gave birth he might devour her child. That he can overturn God's plan at some strategic point. So see, at their fall from perfection, they were corrupted like their leader, the demons, along with Satan. They lost their positions in God's government, his economy, but retained their relative wisdom, strength, power, etc. They still function and have all the attributes of angels except for the moral, ethical righteousness that the elect angels continue to possess. So, D, this fact is deduced from the explanation that was given Daniel with respect to why there had been a delay in answering his prayer, as we saw in Daniel 10:13, as the angel was delayed fighting the prince of Persia, etc., and that it is an ongoing struggle. So even though the elect angels generally are victorious, it doesn't just come at whim. It denotes effort. And obviously God supported them otherwise in that respect. The angelic, in the Star Wars scenario, it is a battle. Again, you can only conjure up in your imagination how that battle would unfold, as they can't kill each other. Well, what's going on? And there's obviously things there involved that only in the spirit world would you truly understand the nature of these things. So, Eve, now the timing of their fall must be placed after the original creation of the heavens and earth, before the formation of man, since Satan was there to act as a tempter. And that's how we have timed it. Obviously, the fall did not occur until after he developed the mental attitude, sin of pride. That was hidden. It was in his heart. At that point in time, nobody but God knew what was going on in his thinking, where he was headed to in that respect. And it is the original creation of the heaven and earth that charged him to express then the evil that he was conjuring up otherwise in an antagonistic way. And that is when the planet then came under judgment, when he rebelled, and then the restoration of the planet occurs for the appeal process. And as we know, in the creation of man in the garden, in Genesis 3:1 following, Satan possessed a certain animal of the garden, a serpent, and he negatively influenced Eve to disobey God in regards to eating of the tree of good and evil. She was deceived in regards to what the angel or what Satan had communicated to her in regards to the fruit. The man himself, he didn't buy into that, but he got under his own sin capacity and cognizantly ate of the fruit because he didn't want to lose his main squeeze, his only. So, one, the Hebrew of Genesis 1:1, again, it's so important to be able to categorize the events in their sequential order in Genesis 1 and to know the emphasis of things that are going on. The Hebrew of Genesis 1:1 details, E, subpoint 1, details the original creation that was spoken into existence by God in a moment of time. In the beginning, in a beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Compare Psalm 148, 1 and 5. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven. Praise Him in the highest. Praise Him all His angels. Praise Him all His hosts. Praise Him the sun and moon. Praise Him all stars of light. Praise Him the highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Ephesians 3, 9. Regards to the dispensation of the church of the mystery, verse 9, in the middle there, the verse which for ages has been hidden in God
who created all things.
Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you did create all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. His sovereign decision to create. Compare Job 38, 1 through 7. There was the original creation, which verse 7 again, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy as they observed this creation, the original creation. And that occurred before the fall of Satan, his demotion. 2, in the Genesis narrative, then Genesis 1, 2 indicates that the situation had dramatically changed and the earth became tohu wa bohu, a wasteland and void of inhabitants. Now, a lot of Christians read those verses and they say that's how the earth was created. A lot of these Christians, the ones that adhere to the principle of evolution, trying to mix it in with the true principle of creation. And that God did the original plant of the seed, so to speak, to create the planet. Then it evolved into the condition of which we see it today. And this took, you know, all these years, millions of years. And they want to hold hands with the scientists out there in the world that hold to this, rather than grow a pair and stand up for the truth otherwise. In addition to that, and it wasn't created in a state of being. We know that from the Hebrew language. Also, Isaiah 45:18 documents that the earth did not create, God did not create the earth in the form of Genesis 1:2. That's that point 3 there. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, in parentheses, He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. So, duh. Yeah. I'll spell it out for you, I guess. Therefore, something happened that causes judgment to fall on his own creation. That is, the fall of Satan and his angels. They introduced evil into the universe as the planet was originally created for their habitation of enjoyment in a tangible environment, different than the third heaven, I guess, in that sense. F, the cause of their fall must be related to the individual volition of each angel and the choice he made with respect to conflicting viewpoints of God and Satan. 1, any view that God was the author of their evil, either directly or indirectly, must be rejected based on the attribute of perfect righteousness. If he has any participation of creating evil, being anything less than perfectly moral or just, and that destroys his attribute of plus R. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. He's immune. And he himself does not tempt anyone. Two, like Satan, the other fallen angels willingly chose to revolt against God, superimpose their wills over the will of God, and they must then take responsibility for that action. When sin occurs, disobedience to God's plan, it must be judged. When righteousness is violated, it must be judged. So three, although tempted externally by Satan, which would be the remote cause of their fall, the other demons, they ultimately decided for themselves, and their own negative volition was the final cause of their fall. It was their own determination, their own choice. God didn't jump in the middle of this and stop it all. He let it play out. That is the freedom of volition. God's not going to cause anyone, force anyone, coerce anyone to reject them if they don't want it, if they don't want to have a relationship with them. Maybe this is something that the human beings could learn for themselves sometimes. You don't have to force people to like you. If you think you've got to force people to like you, then look for another relationship. You know? If they don't want to like you, fine. That's your choice. You may say the feeling is mutual, or you may not. I know. But there's people love to try to impose their will on others, you know, in said fashion. God's a perfect gentleman. He's a perfect gentleman. Fine. Sometimes you have to tell people, just make your decision. You know, quit dancing around over all this stuff. Life's too short. God's plan is precedent. So, again, point three, although tempted externally by Satan, they ultimately, the demons, the other third of the angelic host that rebelled, decided for themselves, and their own negative volition was the final cause of their fall. For any other solution to this obvious problem in the angelic conflicts imputes evil to God and must be rejected, including suggestions that A, God created evil in Satan and son of the angel, therefore making God the author of evil. Yin and Yang are all one. No, they're not. B, to further suggest that he allowed son to be tested with evil and did not allow the others, in other words, only a select few, God permitted Satan to have influence to try to argue his case. No, I guarantee he did before the entire host. And the angels made up their mind one way or the other. And to suggest otherwise, to not allow on the others, makes God a respecter of person. That is clearly at odds with the scripture. Every human being has a choice. See? And he gives everybody that openness of choice. And God is not a respecter of persons. Does not show partiality when it comes to being able to determine for oneself. Romans 2:11. simply stated, specifically stated, for there is no partiality with God. Ephesians 6:9. He reads everyone's tapes. He knows. It's because you wear a white robe with a funny looking dunce cap, it doesn't make anything special before God. See? Why all these men want to wear their dresses in the religious world? Why is this? So much more is coming out in regards to all this stuff. But what you're going to do? Well, stand back and let the Antichrist do it for you. Ephesians 6:9. And masters do the same things to them, give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven. There is no partiality with him. He's an exacting God. He operates based on his moral attributes, what is right. And he doesn't care who you are, whether you're the pastor or someone that is otherwise just there. James 2:9. In regards to our own application towards one another, but if you show partiality, you are committing sin and being convicted by the law as transgressors. Why we like to say we don't pick our friends, we pick doctrine. Our friends just happen to fall on the side of doctrine, or then they don't. As a result of their fall, these angels lost their original holiness, corrupted in their thinking process and in their conduct. Acts 8:7. Their corruptness, immorality is noted because they are unclean demons. For in this case, of many who had unclean spirits, they were demon possessed. They were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. Many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. I guess if they can manipulate the molecules and atoms of their own essence, existence, whatever they're made of, they can obviously manipulate the atoms of others' DNA, creating infirmities, things of that nature. They were judged at that point in time at the fall, sentenced to the lake of fire, but not immediately incarcerated. Obviously, if they were not immediately incarcerated, denotes that an appeal process is in place at this point in time in human history. Matthew 25:41 tells us that their place of incarceration, the lake of fire, has already been created by God, where unbelievers will join Satan in their eternal residence. And he will also say to those on his left, verse 41, depart from me, accursed ones, and to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So their eternal domain had been created in anticipation of the judgment already, but it is yet to be occupied. Revelation 20:10. This will occur after the 1,000 years millennial period and final rebellion ended, if you will, human history in its present era of history, 7,000 years. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet, they got to be there before them, clean house, you know, get everything ready. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. They were left free then to engage in active opposition to God, in opposition to the work of the elect angels, in opposition to the people of God, the nations, and to abuse unbelievers. as part of them presenting their case, it's all being, if you will, acted out in this in reality. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. In Satan's five I wills, the manifesto. We saw Daniel 10:12, demons interfering with God's elect angels, seeking to perform God's will. The people of God, 1 Chronicles 21:1. Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. David wasn't supposed to take census. Don't worry about the numbers. Job 1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2, Satan sought to influence God. God set that whole thing up. We won't read the two chapters. We've been over them before more than once. But it shows that he will do anything and everything that God will let him to get away with. And God gave him pretty much free rein with Job. Ephesians 6:11 and following. There again, the powers of heavenly forces in view. Hence why we are to put on the full armor of God. That's the truth of doctrine. Being in fellowship, isolation, sin nature. He may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Satan is continually behind the scenes orchestrating certain things, bring about in his own way, in his own means, circumstances and situations through people to influence others. Obviously, he's not omniscient. He can't read your thoughts. But he does, obviously, can hear what you say. And you speak things openly, out loud, understand he's going to be privy to that information. And no telling what he might set up to try to take advantage of some weakness or whatever that comes out through our words. You got to understand that. This is constantly going on behind the scenes. We have our protection. We have our defense that we can put up in order to not succumb to that in a way that would cause us to crash and burn spiritually. And our struggle is spiritual, verse 12. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, the ones that instigate and promote human viewpoint and immorality, unethical conduct, rebellion against Bible doctrine otherwise, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. And hence exhorted, don't let your guard down. You do. Well, don't be surprised when you hit the pavement hard. 1 Peter 5:8. Be a sober spirit. There the English recognizes sobriety is not regards to drinking, but spiritually. That means that you got your emotions under control. And you're not vacillating in regards to the human viewpoint, that you're standing fast with the truth of doctrine, letting doctrine guide you and direct you, not getting carried away by your sin nature. Just be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. You can't let your guard down. As soon as you do, the satanic zapper attack will occur. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Other verses tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, part of your evidence of resisting the devil is your attendance under NPR. Every time we show up for Bible class, we are resisting Satan. See? And he knows that. We dig our heels in. That's your commitment. That's your safety net. You start abandoning that, then you become an easier prey. The nations, the influence, the satanic influence over nations. Revelation 16:13-14. I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, demonic spirits, obviously, for they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Demonic influence brings about the Battle of Armageddon. And then, obviously, to abuse unbelievers. Unbelievers are their easiest prey. Some of these people will fall for anything. And they'll serve it to them, dish served cold or hot, however. Luke 8:12. Those beside the road are those who have heard in the parable of the sower, sowing the seed, the truth of doctrine, and the type of volition it falls on. You have the gospel message phase one. People hear the gospel, then the devil, verse 12, comes and takes away the word from their heart. Anything he can to trip them up so that they can live eternally with him. Keep them under his control and under his power so they may not believe and be saved. To hinder someone making a salvation adjustment. How more cruel can a person ever be? Now, that's one category you never want to fall into, as far as I'm concerned. I will. To hinder someone's positive volition. You know, it's one thing to be negative to yourself, but it's another thing to hinder somebody else's positive volition. And the God does not look lightly upon that, by the way. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world, being Satan himself, is blinding the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He'll give you every distraction, every person, every STA distraction and human viewpoint, propensity of embracement that they lean towards and embrace themselves and go after. He'll provide that. To keep them distracted in regards to the truth. Keep them distracted in regards to the very issues and priorities in regards to what God's plan is for us. He will do that in some form or fashion. That's a test of your own volition. J, however, they are restricted to the laws of God. It's just not open free for all in regards to all this. God still controls the situation. So, however, they are restricted to the laws of God and battle engagement, as seen in the segment of fallen angels that engage in the sexual infiltration of the human race and then are currently imprisoned in Tartarus as a prime example. Genesis 6:1 and following, where the event occurred and is recorded for us. Then again, 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6. And we saw Jude 6, 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare our angels when they sinned, the sin was the infiltration of the human race, pre-Noahic flood, pre-flood situation. But cast them into hell and committed them into this pits of darkness reserved for judgment. So there are certain rules and guidelines of the angelic conflict that are enforced by God in this appeal process. Okay, Satan and his angels continue to have access to the third heaven, which they use to malign believers, insult God, and accuse us in that court. Zechariah 3:1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Doesn't waste any effort, does he? Same thing in Job chapters 1 and 2 again. And then Revelation 12:10. Constantly up there seeing what that believer did. See what that believer did? They don't love you, God. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Revelation 12, now the deliverance and the power and the kingdom of our God and authority of the Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before God day and night. So, to wrap up this section, at the middle of Daniel's 70th week, Satan and his followers will have this access withdrawn, and they will be confined to planet Earth until they are confined to the lake of fire. So that is a big turning point in regards to the angelic conflict. That's also in Revelation 12, the previous verses in 8 and 9. In the Star Wars scenario, verse 7, Satan and the demons were not strong enough for Satan. There's no longer place found for them in third heaven, no more opportunity to be granted appearance before God. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. He deceived the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So, at this point in time, the planet has at least a little relief where they are off doing their thing before God in the throne room. At one point in time in history, they are going to always be on this planet, and they will be restricted to all their activities on the planet. So, you know, let's magnify everything a little bit here, because that's exactly what's going to happen in the tribulation. Revelation 20:10. Again, the ones who deceive people, the devil who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's their eternal destiny after the fact. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.